Good morning. We're almost wrapping up with our presentations today. Kind of going off of what we just read, I'm looking more into the HPV vaccines with the gay and bisexual population. There are no relationships to disclose for the study. So just in the background, for HPV, it is a virus that attacks your skin and mucous membranes. Unfortunately, I don't have any gruesome pictures to show you this morning. There are hundreds of different strains of HPV and about 30 spread through sexual contact. The ones that we're really interested in knowing about are HPV 6, 11, 16, and 18. They affect the genital areas such as the vulva, the vagina, the cervix, the rectum, the anus, the penis, and the scrotum. Pretty much genital warts, intraepithelial neoplasia, and cancers. Primarily, cervical in women that are known, but also anal and penile cancers in men. There are two classifications. Your high-risk strains are from 6 and 11. Low-risk are from 16 to 18. So HPV is also known to cause warts, including common warts, plantar warts, and flat warts. There are also precancerous lesions, including in the cervix. There's high-grade and low-grade. There are other precancerous lesions on cancer, including on the penis, anus, vagina, and vulva. There's also laryngeal papillomas, which are non-cancerous tumors on the larynx, vocal cords, or the air passages leading from the nose into the lungs. In terms of prevalence, there are about 6.2 million people that are newly diagnosed with HPV and 20 million currently diagnosed. About 40 to 50% of cases are found in women between 14 to 24 years old. There is limited data regarding the incidence and prevalence rates of HPV, and about 50% of men that are sexually active acquire HPV in their lifetime. So when we look at HPV in men, about 50% of men that are sexually active acquire HPV in their lifetime. 51.1% tend to carry multiple strains of HPV. Approximately 73% of men have been infected with HPV, which has led to approximately 93% of anal cancers, 63% of oropharyngeal cancers, and 36% of penile cancers. Gay and bisexual men are more likely to be diagnosed with HPV, and prevalence of HPV is 60% in men without HIV and close to 90% in those with HIV. And they're also 17 times more likely to develop anal cancer, according to CDC. Detection of HPV DNA can also be found under fingernail tips in men. Kind of gives you a different perspective of looking at your fingernails after that. And there are no methods to necessarily test for HPV, but there are anal pap screens that can be done for anal cancer. When we look at the HPV vaccine, we have Gardasil, which is through Merck. It's an approved vaccine that helps guard against 90% of genital warts in males. It's three shots over the course of 3 months. It must be between the ages of 9 to 26, but the vaccine is best before sexual debut. And right now they're really trying to get both boys and girls to take the vaccine between the ages of 9 to 13. The theoretical model I chose for this survey was the health belief model, and the constructs I used were perceived susceptibility, perceived severity, perceived benefits, perceived barriers, cues to action, and self-efficacy. And we're all looking at, in terms of HPV, and how these constructs deal with taking the HPV vaccine. When we're looking at the health belief model, we're looking at the relationship between vaccine acceptability and males that believed sexual partners, parents, or physicians would encourage taking the vaccine, having a firm belief in the general importance of the vaccine, knowledge and awareness of HPV, and perceptions of being at high risk and belief in vaccination. So the purpose of the study was to determine the role of the health belief model in predicting HPV vaccine acceptability among gay and bisexual men. I used a cross-sectional study. It was a valid and reliable survey based on the health belief model, and it was developed by myself and my faculty member. So we did the Cronvax Alpha to look at the constructs. The perceived benefits was on the slightly low end, but it was deemed good enough to continue on. We also did a retest reliability, also with really good correlations and false significant value. In terms of methods, we had males homosexual or bisexual, 18 years or older, attending the University of Cincinnati. We obtained approval from the IRB before starting the study. The survey was conducted at the end of class time. Clipboards and pens were provided for completion of the survey. Participants were asked to complete the survey to their best ability, and we had the anonymity of responses were assured to them. And once surveys were completed, they just had to slide it into a manila envelope, so no one was there to really know who they were or what was going on. In terms of data analysis, this was all done on SPSS. We had descriptive statistics along with stepwise multiple regressions in order to determine what factors affect vaccine acceptability. Health belief model construct variables served as the independent variables, and whether participants would take the vaccine was a dependent variable. Alpha levels were set to 0.5 to determine significance. They're pretty much between the ages of 18 to 26, and similar to my colleague that just presented, I was only able to get 87 participants, which is very limited, and it's really difficult, especially when you're only recruiting students from a university setting, especially Midwestern University located in Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll get to that a little bit later, but in terms of determining whether they would take the vaccine or not, the responses were either yes, maybe, or no, and most of my sample had said yes or maybe. So it's a positive trend in taking the vaccine, but you know, you want more of the population to actually willing to take it. Just the normalization of the response. And in terms of my results when we did the stepwise regression, it was found that self-efficacy and cues to action were significant predictors of vaccine, but as you'll see, they were negative correlates in terms of vaccine acceptability. So, self-efficacy and cues to action were able to explain some variance in whether males would take the HPV vaccine, and negative relationships were seen among the independent variable and the dependent variable. Once again, you have to keep in mind that results were based on a self-report survey, and they included both participant bias and dishonesty, as occurs with any self-report survey, and especially when you're talking about STDs and HPV vaccinations. Recruiting participants was extremely difficult, leading to a low sample size. We're currently still going on with the study, trying to get bump up the sample size number. So these are just preliminary results, and hoping that the regression model might change with more participants. And previous studies have indicated that cues to action and self-efficacy are strong predictors and a positive correlation towards taking the vaccine. These are definitely interesting findings when it went the other way. And there is a need for an intervention to increase vaccine acceptability. We want to encourage the homosexual and bisexual population to take the vaccine to prevent themselves from anal and penile cancers, as well as genital warts. In terms of limitations, once again, these are just preliminary results. I am trying to recruit more more participants from the college setting. Sometimes grants and incentives can help with that process, but when those are not available, it becomes a little bit more difficult. It's a cross-sectional study, so just, it's for that time and place. And once again, this was conducted only in a university. Had I expanded to the city and maybe gone to the GLBT caucus in Cincinnati, it may have led to a higher sample size. I did not get full support from the GLBT caucus on campus. I tried contacting them a couple of times, but they weren't as interested in participating with the study, which I found pretty interesting, because I thought they actually would be really interested in getting their members to participate. So right now I'm just kind of going to different classes, general ed classes, and seeing where that takes me. But like I said, as a student, it's really harder, and I feel like maybe with grants and dollars, it always brings out more people to respond to surveys. So that's what I have.